I'd like to call this council and committee meeting to order. Madam Clerk, the roll call, please.
Your Worship, all members of council are present.
There are no addenda this evening. I have one announcement. Last Wednesday, I had the opportunity to attend Crystal Beach Public School at the invitation of Charmaine Reed. She and her doubles partner, international doubles partner, Nicole Grater, were at Crystal Beach Public School for a demonstration to the students about badminton. You all know Charmaine Reed is a world class badminton player, as is her partner. And that they were sponsored by Canadian Tire Jumpstart. They had the kids basically crawling up the walls and off the ceiling. They were so excited to have the two of them there. And their presentation involved the children actually participating. And the kids just loved it. And afterwards, I was advised by Charmaine that Canadian Tire will also be donating some equipment to the school. Charmaine and Nicole do this all over the country. Charmaine has been doing this as her partner since they started playing on the world tour years and years ago. Both of them are very accomplished athletes, and they had a very good rapport with the children. So it was a great day for the children at Crystal Beach Public School, and we thank both of them, as well as Canadian Tire, for the program that they sponsored so that this could happen. It was pretty inspiring, actually. I know the kids will remember this for many, many years to come. And perhaps one of them or more will become badminton players. Who knows? Do we have any disclosures of pecuniary interest? There being none, I'm just going to mention in terms of public notice, we start our budget meetings this Wednesday, November the 4th. First, the topic is capital budget and forecast. That will be in the council chamber starting at 5:30 on Wednesday. The next meeting will be Wednesday, December the 9th, again at 5:30, and we'll be dealing with the water and wastewater budget. And the agenda makes reference to the other dates, and they're also available for the public to look at on the website. This evening we have some public meetings. There was supposed to be a public meeting with respect to the redesignation of industrial lands on Helena Street. And that, because of technical alterations, that public meeting is now going to be an open house. So for those of you who are here to make presentation to us with respect to that, we will listen to the comments, as will staff, and they'll take into account any of the comments that you have with respect to that. But it's not an official public meeting. There will be notice reissued, and official public meeting, I believe, in December. So I'm going to call Kira, Ms. Dolch, to give some background with respect to the official plan amendment and zoning bylaw amendment with respect to the former industrial lands on Helena Street. Good evening.
Thank you, Your Worship. The purpose of this amendment is to change the town's official plan designation from urban residential and commercial to a special policy area, and to change the town's zoning bylaw from highway commercial C3 zone and neighborhood development ND zone to a site-specific dry industrial zone. The environmental conservation overlay on these properties will not be changed as a result of this amendment. Notification of the September 2nd open house meeting was done by placing a notice in the October 8th edition of the Times newspaper, as well as other means were used to notify the public. The town's website, the town's Twitter and Facebook page, the Ridgeway Bridgeburg Crystal Beach BIAs were given notice, as well as it was placed on the billboard at the corner of Municipal Center Drive and Garrison Road. And also it was placed in the Town Hall atrium, the Leisure Plec Library branches, and the museum. In addition, property owners were hand-delivered a notice on October 1st, and as well as those properties that were vacant were mailed notice. The notification of this meeting did not include the significant changes that have been incorporated as requested by two members of the public after the open house meetings. As a result of these changes, further notice needs to be provided to the public about these changes. A formal legislative public meeting will be held in the near future. This is an aerial photograph of the subject neighborhood. The subject lands are located in the Kraft neighborhood and located on the east and west sides of Helena Strait. The area consists of a mix of existing commercial, residential, and industrial uses. The subject lands are located south of Garrison Road on Helena and incorporate 10 separate properties, and they're outlined in yellow. Of these 10 properties, 7 are actively operating as a distribution company, a computer repair facility, plastic molding company, amusement company, vinyl deck company, truck transportation business, international trade company, and a number of other similar industrial uses. 3 properties are not actively operating or not developed. This is an aerial photograph of the subject property. The amendment area is shown in yellow hatching and excludes the environmental protection areas from the subject lands. The amendment area will be redesignated to a special policy area and rezoned to a site-specific dry industrial zone. This is a look at the properties looking southwest on Helena Street. As you can see, a number of industrial operators are currently operating on the subject lands. This is a photograph looking northwest along Helena Street. And this is a property looking southeast along Helena Street. This is an underutilized piece of property and is bounded by the wetland to the south. The subject property is designated commercial, urban residential, environmental protection, and environmental conservation overlay. An official plan amendment is required to permit a special policy area. The environmental protection area is not part of the amendment area and will continue to be designated environmental protection. The environmental conservation overlay designation will also continue to remain on these properties, but it is included in the amendment as the area within these lands may develop subject to environmental review and approval. This slide shows the natural and cultural heritage features on the subject property, as identified in the official plan. There is an environmental conservation, environmental protection designation located on the subject land, as well as an environmental corridor. All these areas will continue to remain. The proposed zoning bylaw amendment is to change the zoning within the amendment area from highway commercial, C3 zone, to a site-specific dry industrial zone, and also from a neighborhood development ND zone to a site-specific dry industrial zone. Again, the environmental conservation area zone will remain unchanged. This is the text for the proposed official plan amendment. The official plan text permits the lands to be used for a low intensive industrial use on private servicing within the urban area. The text also requires adherence to the separation distance as required by the Ministry's D6 guidelines. This is the original proposed amendment by staff. These uses were uses within the dry industrial and prestige industrial zoning, which were not heavily reliant on sanitary servicing, and that's why they were chosen. So what has changed? As a result of public comment, we have considered additional uses. The additional uses are listed in red under additional uses. All these new uses selected were those which were part of the previous industrial zoning on the property and at the request of residents were considered by staff. There were some that were also considered that weren't included in this. The reason they weren't included is because of the sanitary sewers aren't available in this area and they're on septic. So these uses that we have chosen and included are uses we feel comfortable as planning staff, including on private servicing. There also has been changes to wording. There are a couple property owners that do have sanitary sewer laterals connected to Garrison Road. They had some concerns that they were being identified as not having sanitary sewers. So we decided to include provisions to be very specific that if sanitary sewers aren't available, then these requirements are necessary, that no sewage disposal requirements are necessary as part of assembly, manufacturing, fabrication, repair, packaging, and storaging activities to make sure that these uses can sustain themselves on private servicing. On the next page, we've also included additional uses if sanitary sewage services are available, and this opened up the industrial area a bit more to allow a number of other uses that can be included, provided they do have sanitary servicing available. There were two statements added, and those were the separation distance from the D6 guidelines, and also that no outside storage shall be permitted. Because we've added these additional uses, because of the sanitary servicing, there could be some impact with the residential properties to the west. So we wanted to make sure that there's no outside storage and that they adhere to those D6 guidelines. This is just an open house meeting. A further public meeting will be scheduled and the public notified. This concludes my presentation.
Thank you, Ms. Dolch. And at this point, I suspect what you're suggesting is that individuals who wish to make comments to staff come forward.
That is correct.
But that doesn't preclude them from making presentations at the actual official public meeting.
No, it does not. It gives them an opportunity to speak now and also.
So having said that, if there's anyone who wishes to address this proposed official plan amendment and zoning bylaw amendment, please come forward. Yes, sir. Please come forward. I'll need your name and address for the record, sir.
Okay. Am I on there? Yes. My name is David Rowe. I'm a planner at Civic Planning Solutions, Inc. I'm here on behalf of John Henry Smith, a landowner on Helena Street. I'll give you my card, so can I have my
That'll be address. Fine. How do you spell your last name?
Rowe, R-O-E,
okay.
David. Reviewed the staff report. It looks very good. I like the approach being taken where if and when services are put in, that there is flexibility to have other uses without the necessary coming back for an official plan amendment. So I think from that perspective, the approach being taken by staff is very good, very proactive. As far as the uses permitted, my client's use basically is a truck depot, is a permitted use as envisioned originally. And again, we don't have any issues at all and would hope that council will approve the amendment as recommended by staff.
Thank you very much, Mr. Rowe. Do any members of council have any questions of Mr. Rowe? Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else? Okay, I mean, you realize that if you don't speak this evening, there will be a public meeting, and there's always the opportunity for dialogue with staff. If there is no one else, Mr. Koch, is there somebody in front of you? If there is no one else, then the open house is concluded, and we're going to proceed then with the next agenda item, which is public meeting. For an official plan amendment, property rezoning and draft plan of subdivision with respect to Mars Homes or the South Coast Development. And Mr. Kernahan, how are you this evening? Beautiful. Where do you go from there?
Thank you, Your Worship. Lower. Applications for a combined official plan, zoning amendment, and amendment to the draft plan of subdivision have been received from A.J. Clark and Associates on behalf of Mars Home Crystal Beach, Inc., for the approved South Coast Village subdivision located on the east side of Ridgeway Road, south of Graber Avenue. Subdivision and associated official plan and zoning bylaw amendment applications were approved by Council on January 9, 2012. The approved subdivision is for 179 units through block draft plan of subdivision. Draft plan also includes the extension of Erie Road, a sewer easement, a block for stormwater management, 8 blocks for freehold and condominium units, and a single detached dwelling fronting onto Crystal Beach Drive. The purpose of this amendment to the plan of subdivision and combined official plan and zoning amendment is to expand the commercial block in the northeast corner of the site to the east, permit the introduction of a park, and to introduce certain site-specific regulations for single detached and street townhouse dwellings proposed to be located along the Erie Road extension. Notification of this public meeting was provided in accordance with the requirements of the Planning Act by placing notice in the October 8, 2015 edition of the Fort Erie Times newspaper. In addition, property owners within 120 meters were mailed notice of the public meeting on October 19. An aerial photograph of the subject property as well as the surrounding area. The subject lands are located in the Crystal Beach neighborhood. As I mentioned, the property is located on the east side of Ridgeway Road, south of Graber Avenue. Surrounding land uses consist of the following. To the north are single detached dwellings and Graber Avenue. To the south are single detached dwellings, Crystal Beach Pollution Control Plant, and Crystal Beach Drive. To the east are single detached dwellings and Ryan Avenue. The Crystal Beach Tennis and Yacht Club, or to the west is Ridgeway Road, the Crystal Beach Tennis and Yacht Club, and some commercial uses at the corner of Ridgeway Road and Erie Road. Slide shows the natural heritage features on and in the vicinity of the subject property as identified by the official plan. As can be seen, there are no natural heritage features located on or in the vicinity of the subject site. Slide shows the official plan designations on the subject property. The property is currently designated core mixed use and urban residential in the town's official plan. Subject application is to amend the official plan to expand the core mixed use designation shown in pink to permit an enlarged commercial block on Ridgeway Road. Slide shows the existing zoning of the subject property. The area that is subject to this zoning bylaw amendment application is shown hatched in yellow. Majority of the property is currently zoned site-specific residential multiple 1, RM1-462, which permits single detached dwellings and street and block townhouse dwellings. The RM1-462 zone includes a number of site-specific regulations for frontage, lot size, building height, coverage, setbacks, the minimum landscape strip, distance between dwellings on the same lot, as well as parking and driveway locations. Site is also designated zoned site-specific open space OS-464 zone, which permits the stormwater management pond, and site-specic core mixed use CMU 2-463 zone. Proposed zoning bylaw amendment would expand the area zoned core mixed use to the east and rezone a portion of the subdivision from RM1-462 to open space to permit a park. The amendment would rezone phase 2 of the subdivision, which is the lands located along the Erie Road extension. They're currently zoned RM1-462 to a site-specific RM1 zone. A table is included in the information report that outlines the requested site-specific residential amendments. This slide shows the site plan for the subject property. Portion of the subdivision to which this amendment applies is known as Phase 2 and is located along and has frontage on the Erie Road extension. The amendment also applies to block 2, which is the southeast corner and will be a park, as well as block 3 in the northeast corner, which will be used commercially. Block 1, which is in the center of the site, is not part of the proposed application, as it is not known at this time what the precise development scenario will be for these lands. Current development scenario for Phase 2 along Erie Road is for 40 single detached dwellings and 6 street townhouse dwellings. That concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kernahan. Any members of council have any questions? I just have a couple of questions. And these amendments are requested of plan of subdivision that was previously approved. So this appears to be a greater intensification of the development. Is that how you would refer to it?
There are no additional units proposed, but what they're requesting are reduced setbacks and increased height.
Right. And what's the rationale for that from your understanding of what the proponents are suggesting?
From what I understand, from speaking with the proponent, the rationale for at least some of them is that they encountered bedrock closer to the surface than had been anticipated during construction. So the single detached dwellings and the future townhouse dwellings will be located higher out of the ground, if you will, which causes a necessity for an increased maximum dwelling height, as well as reduced setbacks for things like porches and steps.
Something that wasn't necessarily ascertainable beforehand?
That's correct.
And in terms of the reduced setbacks from the road, any comments on that?
Well, I can tell you that the requested reduced front yard setback is consistent with the standard, which we're also proposing through the amendments to the residential housing regulations, which is also before you this evening.
Right. Okay. Any other councillors? Councillor Nutt?
Yes. Thank you, Your Worship. Through yourself to Mr. Kernahan. So could you just flip back to the drawing, the last one showing the entire mapping? Okay. So on the Erie Road extension, you're only talking about the internal portion. None of these setbacks are going to be used on the external portion facing other neighborhoods. So this would be basically what they're asking for is all those houses are going to be uniform across the board on the Erie Road extension where it connects to Ryan Avenue. Is that correct?
That's correct. There wouldn't be no reductions are proposed to anything which faces exterior to the subdivision.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kernahan. So now, as part of the public meeting, what I'll do is ask the proponent, if there's someone here on behalf of the proponent, if they wish to address council. And then after that, I will ask if there's anyone who wishes to speak either in favor to the proposed amendment. So at this point, if there's someone from the developer or the developer's agent, so you would be, are you Mr. Fraser?
I am. Stephen Fraser, AJ Clark and Associates. I'm a professional planner. Here with me this evening is Mr. Dan Gabriel, president of Mars Homes. So we're here to answer any questions post this presentation. Is mic on okay? You can hear me okay?
It is, yep.
Thank you for the opportunity to allow us to speak tonight. We've reviewed staff's report. While it doesn't provide any recommendation, it certainly addresses the issues that we've applied for, and we are supportive of it. Excuse me. I want to take this opportunity to thank town staff, especially Kira Dolch and Matt Kernahan, for all their cooperation in expediting this application through the approval process. By way of background, I just would like to advise the committee that we have a current draft approval, as you know. And we've just recently, this year, registered the first phase of that draft approval on Ridgeway Road. And the genesis of why we're here today is a result of construction, mainly what we encountered during construction as it relates to our setback and our zoning standards. So we did encounter, as Matt said, bedrock during excavation. And what that ended up doing for us was raising the height of the house is a little higher than anticipated, and in doing so provided a porch height and steps to those porches. Obviously more risers are required if your porch is higher, and unfortunately technically under the town's zoning bylaw, those porches and the steps to those porches are all encompassing as it relates to yard encroachments. So that's really the main theme of why we're here today. And there are some other performance-related regulations that we are asking for, as Matt outlined. So maybe I'll take a step back and divert from my presentation and just maybe directly answer some of the questions that you had, Your Worship. And the first is, no, this is actually not a greater intensification. It's, in fact, the opposite. We're We're providing for single detached dwellings solely, effectively along Ridgeway Road, save and except for six street townhouses, whereas the current zoning allows for street townhouses along Ridgeway, or sorry, along Erie Road Extension. So we're decreasing the potential yield along Erie Road Extension and committing to single detached dwellings along that road. I think I hopefully I alluded to the rationale as to why we're asking for the setbacks and the height in the zoning. And while we didn't encounter any variances in the first phase, or we don't anticipate any variances to height in the second phase, we would request that that modification just be in there at 2.5 stories, which is currently permitted, and the 10.5 meters in height versus the 9, just to provide us with that flexibility in unit design. Buttons. Go into the subject lands. Matt's identified that for you as well. I just would like to sort of fast forward to a few slides. So as I mentioned, this is the current zoning within amending bylaw 0512, and it permits all the uses that you see in front of you. So everything between single detached dwellings to block townhouses, stack townhouses, and not varying any of those uses today. What we are asking for today, though, is part two on that particular sketch. We're asking to reconfigure it, if you will. Erie Road, you can see to the west of Ridgeway Road. We are aligning in our subdivision with that road. So part two, the zoning portion of part two south of our Erie Road extension is effectively going behind the portion north of that road. So we're not really changing the designation per se. We're just sort of modifying its configuration. And then the second amendment we're asking for is an introduction to the park. So again, this is highlighting the subject, the lots, excuse me, that are subject to this application. And you can see there's a highlighted portion in red that illustrates the six street townhouses proposed. Introduction to the park, self-explanatory. We've provided a percentage in there that's consistent with the Planning Act. The new block configuration for the commercial mixed-use site. And as Matt alluded to, we're not proposing anything different to what you see here in this particular slide. This slide permits zoning. We're confident that our zoning that we currently have will be able to be adhered to when we go in for a site plan application on that particular block. And again, this is the stormwater management pond. There's no changes being proposed to that particular feature. This is a schematic, and generally this was used for marketing purposes, obviously. This shows and illustrates what is ultimately intended for this particular area. You can see that the bulk of the future development and the future residential will be subject to site plan approval, and again, it will be subject to the current zoning regulations that it currently has. Just a general illustration of the streetscape that we envision for Erie Road Extension. You can see there's a mix of bungalow and two-story units, and the genesis of that streetscape was taken from quite a lot of background and photos that my client gathered to sort of capture a theme for his development that if you've seen the first phase, hopefully he's encapsulating that. Now, I'll take this moment maybe to pass it over to Mr. Gabriel to sort of speak to his development and his market, but if there's any questions after Mr. Gabriel's presentation, I'm more than happy to address committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fraser. Evening, Mr. Gabriel.
Mr. Worship, Council, thank you for the opportunity for allowing me to speak tonight. And I don't know if I just go that way. Okay, great. We've owned this property since 2008. And just to share anecdotally, what happened was typically when you buy a property like this, you hire a market researcher and send them on their way, and they come back and tell you what it is the market wants, and then you tailor your product to that. And ultimately, as you tailor your product to that, you have to tailor your zoning to accommodate the product. After several months, the market researcher came back and said, well, there really isn't much of a market for us to define, so we can't really tell you what it is that you're supposed to build down there. And $15,000 later, we said, okay, thanks a lot. So we had to kind of create come up with an idea of what we felt the product should be or what the community should feel like. And so there's this magazine called Coastal Living Magazine. I don't know if you've ever seen it in the variety stores, and it's a really great magazine, and it kind of defines the whole lifestyle aspect of living in a coastal community in California, Florida, or Rhode Island, or Massachusetts, or including Crystal Beach. So this is what we used as the barometer, or if you will, the guideline of what we're trying to create. So what happened is we opened up our model home, which is a home that is adaptable as a town home as well as a single family home. And we gauged what the market would be, and this would have been 14. And at first, I'll be truthful, we struggled. And the reason is the immediate market presented itself as people who wanted as big a garage on as cheap a home as possible. And that's a very transient market. It's all over Ontario, and they will go to Collingwood or Barrie or wherever, as far as you can give them that big garage on a cheap house. So that is not what we had envisioned here, and we were kind of disappointed, and we were concerned that that was the only market that we were going to encounter. And but we kept plugging away at it, and fortunately enough, we were able to offer a product that people saw and appreciate what the whole big picture was going to be, and felt that, you know, maybe the garage wasn't such a big deal after all. So they felt that being walkable to a beach, downtown amenities, that kind of thing, and have that special environment, that historic environment that Crystal Beach offers, is more important than having, you know, SUVs in a garage with room for a boat and what have you. So here we go. We start offering our product out there, and the next thing you know, we had an extensive amount of townhome offering in it, and the market came back with telling us that really we're not terribly interested in buying townhomes here. We want dwellings, which is fine, and we've come up with some really nice single family dwellings that we think are very appropriate for the community, and the market has received them well. One of the things we did notice is that the market wasn't particularly interested, if you will, on lot size. They wanted a certain house, a certain square footage with finished amenities, and they weren't looking to cut a lot of grass or maintain extensive exteriors. Because, of course, they were going to be walking all over Crystal Beach and going to the beach, that kind of stuff. So I wanted to show you some of the interiors that we – this was our model home, if you haven't had the opportunity to see it. But just – there wasn't anything grandiose. It's 1,500 square feet, two-story home. It's now owner-occupied. It was purchased. Townhomes that are designed along the Erie Road future extension. And our designer drawed on some retro themes, if you will. nostalgia. This is our new model home, which was featured in the parade of homes last weekend that went by. And this is a popular plan that is sold on the Erie Road extension. This was the beach, of course, that we enhanced to habitat for Fowler toad. There was stockpiled sand on our property from the previous owner. Clean it up and make it amenity to all to enjoy. I just wanted to show this this slide here. This is my partner Anthony Curella. We were very fortunate in September 2015 award for People's Choice for Project of the Year for the city, and bragging a bit, but that's for the whole province of Ontario against competing against some of the largest builders in the province and some of the largest advertising marketing budgets, construction budgets, possibly imagine. And so I just wanted to quickly touch upon what we've planned here for this north side of the Erie Road extension. We would like to, again, downplay the garage, go to something more traditional, moving the garage to the rear lot with some side driveway lanes. And again, walkability. We are planning on putting those picket fences out there. That will be happening on Ridgeway Road as well. So we do have a certain vision that we want to see played out in this community. Very proud of how things have gone so far. And
thank you, Mr. Gabriel, and congratulations on winning the People's Choice Award. I appreciate your comments. I don't have any questions myself. Any members of council have any questions? Councilor Passero?
Not a question, Your Worship, but through you to Mr. Gabriel. I just wanted to say thank you for investment into our community. I had the opportunity to tour one of your model homes about a year and a half back. Very impressive. And I believe featured on television a few months back as well.
Yes, last year we toured the model home too.
It was very well done and an excellent way to help us put our community's best foot forward. So thank you very much.
Any other councillors? Sure. Is there anyone who wishes to provide comments to council either for or opposed to the proposed amendment? Mr. Poole, please come forward. And for the record, could you provide your name and address, please?
Hi, I'm James Poole. I live on 3811 Rebsack Road in Crystal Beach. First question I have is, I've seen these homes. They're beautiful. And that beautiful job, this subdivision. Is the impost fees on these new homes they're putting on Erie Road coming in, are they going to waive this time like the last council did? I don't know if you guys understand what that question is that when they built these houses on Ridgeway Road, they waived the impost fees, $11,000 per each unit, which cost us taxpayers money, but which is fine. We sold them. We're going now. The question is, are we going to waive the impost fees on the next section going on because it's called Erie Road because there's no impost fees right now in Crystal Beach on Erie Road? That's my first question. And my second question is I live downwind from this project, and I've said from day one, I still like to know what's in those berms on that property when they start taking that stuff off there, if there's asbestos roofing in there or what's in that those berms behind those houses now. I'm very concerned about that. Other than that, I think this is a great project, and that's the two concerns I have about this project.
Okay, thank you. And before this, there's a report coming up later on, and I'm sure someone can ask whether or not there are impost fees or development charges being waived.
Okay. I still like to find what's in those berms.
Yeah, okay. Well, I don't know if our staff knows that. Any members of council have any questions of Mr. Poole? Thank you very much, sir.
All right, thank you.
Is there anyone else who wishes to provide comment to council with respect to the proposed? Yeah, Mr. Cloutier. We have your name and address for the record, please.
My name is Mike Cluce. I just moved to someplace on Garrison Road, and I don't know the number.
Okay.
If I could just take a look at two of the slides. One slide that shows the Erie Road extension, and the one that shows the color coding for the zoning changes. Okay, yeah. Is that what's up there? Okay, everyone's talking about building walkable communities. And I was just wondering if maybe you could make that Erie Road extension go all the way straight through across so that people on the other side over in Crystal Beach Drive, etc., can walk straight down through Erie Road instead of going up to Graber or coming down to Crystal Beach Drive. And it's something that's really annoyed me about developments of this sort, that there's no through access through them for people who walk or take their bikes. The other one is the, do you understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. The zoning changes with the map.
Mr. Cluce, could you speak so that we can hear what you're saying, please?
Okay, there's an expansion of the mixed-use commercial area on Ridgeway Road. Is that the very top left corner? That's new commercial?
Okay.
Okay. And the other cross-hatching there is, the other cross-hatching indicates the areas where, instead of townhouses, that there's going to be single detached houses, so that there will be a reduction in intensity for that. That's those are just some questions that I had about that. But my main thing is to build through access through the developments. Thank you very much for that.
Yeah, just to address that, this is a winding road, so Erie Road goes, as you know, east, and then it goes south, and it connects with Ryan Avenue, as opposed to going straight through.
I don't see that on this map.
Don't see it on that map, but there is, Mr. Kernahan could help you, or Ms. Dolch.
No, I see it being blocked off by...
No, that,
See where it says Erie Road East? And Erie Road Extension and Erie Road East be connected, and there's no connection. There's
Well, the plan of subdivision's already been approved, and it's on the basis that Erie Road goes east, then south, and connects with Ryan Avenue.
Very well.
But it will go through. It's not going to be a dead end. It will go through.
It'll go loop around.
That's right.
So if you're walking, instead of taking a shortcut through...
Well, then you might want to go north to Graber. That's straight.
True. But this kind of configuration where streets exists in all the new developments in town, which makes it really difficult to take shortcuts to various parts of town. One nearby that I can point to is the Mills development on Prospect, Ridgeway by the lake. It's just rather impossible to cut through to get up to Thunder Bay Road via walking without taking serpentine routes through the development. And it would be with an eye to building these walkable communities to be able to have an eye for those shortcuts for pedestrians and active transportation.
Well, some people would say that you get more exercise if you follow this type of street.
We don't want more exercise. We want to be able to get to where we want to go in a speedy, efficient manner.
Then I would suggest, Mr. Cluce, the next time that there is a plan of subdivision that comes before council, that you get at us earlier, because this plan's already been approved.
I understand.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Before you go, any members of council have any questions of Mr. Kulchan? And I take it that staff has made note of the questions that you've asked, so that we'll take those into account. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Kulchan. Is there anyone else who wishes to provide comments to council? If not, then I'm going to declare this public meeting closed, and we'll move to the next public meeting, which relates to the town-initiated zoning bylaw amendment characterized as housekeeping changes, and they also relate to report CDS 82. Mr. Kernahan.
Thank you, Your Worship. Council authorized the initiation of this housekeeping amendment to the comprehensive zoning bylaw through the approval of recommendations included in report, CDS 66-2015 on September 8th, 2015. The purpose of this amendment is to improve the bylaw by clarifying and adding some definitions and regulations and removing inconsistencies and redundancies within the bylaw. Notice of this public meeting was provided in accordance with the requirements of the Planning Act by placing an ad in the October 8th, 2015 edition of the Times newspaper. Brings me to one topic which often comes up a lot when the town is amending their zoning bylaw. In addition to the legal requirements, staff provided notice through a number of other means. These other means are to satisfy the direction of council for providing notice of housekeeping amendments. The other means that staff used to provide this notice included the following. Notice was posted on the website, on the Twitter and Facebook page. Notice of the public meeting was sent to the Ridgeway, Bridgeburg, and Crystal Beach Business Improvement Associations. Notice of the amendment was advertised on the billboard at the corner of Garrison Road and Municipal Center Drive. Notice of the amendment was posted at library branches, the Leisureplex Museum, and in the Town Hall atrium. Finally, all property owners whose zoning will change through this amendment were notified directly. They were notified directly via hand delivery of the notice if their property has a building on it, or via a mailed notice to the location where the property tax bill for the property is sent. Since the zoning bylaw was passed in 1990, town planning staff has routinely undertaken housekeeping amendments to ensure the bylaw is up to date with current legislation, including provincial and regional policies, as well as higher order town planning documents, such as the official plan and secondary plans. Since 2003, the town has undertaken a housekeeping amendment at least annually. In addition to legislative changes, housekeeping amendments also seek to address issues that make the bylaw more clear and easy to use. This amendment, the subject of the public meeting, aims to address five general aspects. Firstly, to make improvements and additions to definitions and the general regulations, to make grammatical and stenographic changes, to make changes to the agricultural regulations related to farm health houses, and to the low density residential regulations relating to lot coverage and height in an effort to reduce impacts of infill development. There were also updates to the zoning maps to address certain omissions, implement decisions of the Environmental Advisory Committee, and address some issues with consistency with higher order planning documents. The following slides, I will, as briefly as I can, provide a summary of the proposed housekeeping changes to the bylaw. Changes to the definitions section include the addition of definitions for a fitness center and U-Brew wine and beer establishments. They also include an amendment to the definition of agricultural to include llamas and alpacas. They include a change to the definition of half and second story to make them more consistent with the commonly understood definitions of these terms. They include a clarification to the definition of vehicle as well as building height. There are a number of definitions to the general regulations of the zoning bylaw which are proposed. The first change is to remove a 300-meter setback requirement for all new residential development from existing agricultural operations. The zoning bylaw currently restricts the widths of driveways at the street line in all zones to a maximum width of 9 meters. The proposed amendment would limit the 9-meter restriction to commercial and residential zones and remove it from agricultural, rural, and industrial zones. Proposed amendment will align the zoning regulations for daylighting triangles with the official plan. Provision is proposed to permit the erection of a temporary swimming pool in the front yard of a dwelling in situations where it's not physically possible to erect one in the rear or side yard. Regarding deck steps and porches, New regulations are proposed to more simply describe the required setbacks for these items. Regulations are also being given their own section and are being removed from the yard encroachments section for ease of use. Regulation is being added to the yard encroachments section to permit barrier-free ramp structures to extend to the limits of the front, rear, and interior side lot lines, as well as to within 1 meter of the exterior side lot line. Regulation is proposed to require that a minimum of 30% of the front yard in a residential zone be covered by landscaped areas, and the average setbacks section is proposed to be amended to include the residential multiple one and WRR zone. Currently, a restriction that requires a minimum lot size of 20 hectares for a farm help house in the agricultural zone. The proposed amendment is to remove this minimum land size restriction to permit farm help houses on smaller farms given changes in agricultural practices. Proposed regulations include a decrease in the maximum height of dwellings from 2.5 to 2 stories and a reduced maximum coverage for smaller and medium-sized lots in the low-density residential zones only, which are the R1 and the R2 zones. The proposed regulations also include increased interior side yard setbacks for dwellings located on infill lots. Proposed regulations include nursing homes as permitted uses in the RM2 and general commercial and highway commercial zones where they weren't before. And there are a number of other amendments that are required to improve the usability and clarity of the bylaw, as well as to address some unintentional emissions. Finally, there are changes proposed to a number of the maps in the zoning bylaw. Some changes are proposed to lands outside the urban area, which are currently zoned open space. The proposal is to change them to existing open space to bring them into conformity with the official plan. The zoning of 46 Queen Street is proposed to change from public to general commercial. An update to the mapping is proposed to add certain changes following the Bridgeburg Secondary Plan coming into effect earlier this year. And the environmental conservation overlay is proposed to be removed from portions or all of properties which have been previously assessed by the Environmental Advisory Committee. That summarizes the proposed changes and concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kernahan. Do any members of council have any questions at this point? Thank you. I have some, but I'll wait till we get the report on the floor. Is there anyone who wishes to speak to council with respect to the proposed changes to our zoning bylaw with respect to this matter? Mr. Kotz? Evening.
Worship and Council, my name is Charles Kautz, K-A-U-T-Z. I live at 3247 Thunder Bay Road. As usual, it's a very fine document. Mr. Kernahan has done an excellent job. My one concern is the quote-unquote monster home. When I looked at it at the open house, there's really no definition of it in terms of like square footage or this or that. It's just a scary term. And I think you should be encouraging places like these on, in particular, low-density R1 and R2 sites. If someone has a 90,000-square-foot lot and wants a 9,000-square-foot home, I'm sure your tax base would improve drastically. And you're trying to attract people like these who are building homes like this. So I just think it's all relative. For example, the South Coast thing tonight, they want to build homes. So are those monster homes because they take up more of the lot? It's all relative, and I just think it's a little strange. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, and that's a good question that can be raised when we review the report. Thank you very much. Before you go, any members of council have any questions of Mr. Kautz? Thank you. Is there anyone else who wishes to address council with respect to this particular matter? If not, then I'll declare this public meeting closed, and that takes us to the consent agenda items on our agenda. Could I have a motion to put these on the floor, please? Thank you, Councillor Zanko. I think she just beat you out, Councillor McDermott. Does anyone have any questions or comments with respect to the three reports in our consent agenda? That is CDS 77, 78, and 79. Zero.
Thank you, Mayor Riddicop. Just a comment regarding CDS 79, the proposed Ramsar designation. I want to say thank you to staff for rounding up all the information that we've been waiting on. I do have a particular question as it relates to our fishing community, which is huge here in Fort Erie and getting larger all the time. This, I just want to ensure, will have no bearing whatsoever on our bait licensing or our fishing licenses utilized in the Niagara River for purposes already currently utilized. I read through the documentation. It looks like everything just stays exactly the same, but I would just like to get confirmation of that based on a constituent's comment to me.
Mr. Brady, do you want to handle that? I see Mr. Hayworth is here.
That's fine. I'll handle that question. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you to the councillor, we've asked every agency that we can think of for comments on whether the Ramsar designation would put any regulations in place that we needed to be aware of in advance. And I think you can see through the responses that we've received that it's been ubiquitous in that the agencies that have responded have said, no, there will be no changes to the regulations that they operate with under. And in particular, the Conservation Authority provided us with a rather succinct letter to that effect. So I think I can say with a great amount of assurance that it won't have any impact on the, I think that's Emerald Shiner fisheries that this gentleman.
Councilor Vassiro.
Thank you for that, Mr. Brady. Thank you.
Any other questions? Just have a few. The first relates to report CDS 77 and the extension of draft plan approval. My general question, and perhaps you can respond, Mr. Brady, is who receives notice when there's, or if anyone, when there's a request for an extension of draft plan approval? Or Ms. Dolch?
The answer to your question is that we did not provide any notice for extensions of draft plan approval.
Because there's none that's required by the Planning Act, presumably?
That's correct.
And then I know that each case would be dealt with on its own merits, but what is typically considered to be reasonable in terms of extensions of draft plan approval? I know some have been extended many, many times. This one goes back a little bit.
The answer to your question is it's unusual to not extend draft plan approval. We look for moving forward by the developer in some ways of clearing conditions, or at least making efforts to do so, which is the case in the case of this particular condominium. But it's a rather unusual circumstance for extension of draft plan approval. Typically, what will happen is that draft plan approval will lapse in that a time period will run out, there will be no extension required or requested, and it simply lapses by no action being taken. But the actual not extending of draft plan approval is quite rare.
And I suppose one of the things that you'd also look at would be whether there have been changes in the need for a different housing mix or what have you?
Yes, we can look at that, but then what we would be looking at is if we believe that there's a change in housing mix, is not an extension of draft plan approval, but rather a revision to the draft plan.
Right. So whenever there's a, please correct me if I'm wrong, when there's a request for an extension, does that provide an opportunity for the municipality to request changes?
Yes, it would provide us with the opportunity to speak to the developer and suggest that there may be markets that they may wish to explore and modify their draft plan accordingly.
And just with respect to this particular plan, I'm only asking these questions because this has come up with respect to this report. I note that this is a circular, this is a one in and it looks like a one out on Ashwood, perhaps, Road. But I noticed Victoria Road, which is to the east of this subdivision. Was there any reason why this particular plan didn't have an outlet at Victoria Road? Does anyone know that? Well, why don't we do this? I've asked the question, maybe at some point someone could let me know if they have some insight into that.
Certainly.
Yeah, you don't have to do that this evening. That's fine. The other, I also had a couple of questions on, I note that in this particular plan of subdivision, parkland has already been dedicated, so that, and that there are efforts being made to fulfill the conditions, and that the region's conditions have been met. With respect to CDS 78, second to find it. This has to do with the request for a temporary turnaround area. But my recollection is that this is on land that's owned by the owner of the development. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. You're
all right. So it's, I mean, it's the owner that's really just asking permission to do something that was it could do anyways.
At the time of the original subdivision, he was not the owner of the lands, and that's why it was originally proposed
right.
within the plan of subdivision.
But he is now the owner.
That's correct.
Yeah, great. Thank you very much. Those are my questions. Anyone else have any? If not, then I'll call the question on the consent agenda items. Oh, sorry, Councillor Liberts.
Yes, thank you very much. Just to get back to the Schooley Road. I don't know. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, I brought up something, and I wanted to. It was more of an inquiry, and I don't want to go into inquiries and not be able to refer back to something that we've discussed earlier. But when I see here, and I requested this before with the last term of council, is when we have a numbered company, Ontario Limited Company, because of the fact that I work for Real Electric, and we do a lot of work for a lot of different developers in town. I may not know their Ontario Limited number, and I would just ask if they could if staff could provide a name so that I could be familiar. I'm sure that I'm not I don't have a conflict with this developer, but just for future, if we could have a name.
Yes, that's
a
good
number.
Point, Councillor Liberts, and I know that that had been a practice. And when I was looking at this, I was thinking that. The other day when I was going through my agenda package because I don't have a conflict either, but I don't know who's behind that number. So if staff could at least maybe just circulate a memo to us to let us know who's behind some of these numbered corporations that we're dealing with, that would be helpful.
In this particular case, we have identified it through the agent. It's Mike Dantini.
Is he the owner?
He is the owner.
Okay. It says he's the agent, but that's fine. Thank you. Any other questions? If none, all those in favor of the consent agenda items? None opposed, that is carried. And I'm pleased to hand over the chair to Councillor Butler for Community and Development Services.
Thank you, Your Worship. Community and Development Services is now open. There are no presentations and delegations. First report is CDS 80-2015, proposed amendment to the town's official plan and comprehensive zoning bylaw number 129-90, for the former industrial lands on Helena Street. Can I get a mover, please? Moved by Councillor McDermott. That report is now on the floor. Do any councillors have any comments or questions? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? Motion carried. Next report is CDS-81-2015, proposed amendment to draft plan of subdivision and combined official plan and zoning bylaw amendment, Mars Homes, Crystal Beach, Inc., owner A.J. Clark and Associates, agent.
So moved.
Moved by Mayor Redekop. That report is now on the floor. Do any councillors have any comments or questions? Councillor Lubert?
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. I don't know if we can go back to the slides that were there, but when Mr. Fraser was discussing, I think it was block 2 in the upper left-hand corner.
Madam Chair, was that in my presentation or Mr. Fraser?
I think it was slide 7. I think you both referred to it. I think he was just kind of giving some background on the change. Erie Road is going to go through, so I'm assuming what they're asking for really is that the area that the extension of Erie Road is going to take up from Block 2 is going to be added to the back of Block 3, which is creating Block 3. I'm not quite sure exactly what we're doing here, but in the other slide it shows it's Block 2, right? And now it's Block 3.
If I might, the Block 3 is deeper than Block 2 was, and it also doesn't have as much frontage onto Ridgeway Road, and it's relatively the same size as, if you would put it all back together. It is a little bit larger, and it provides for a commercial development at that node.
Yeah, I think, and basically that's what they're doing, right? They're just taking some off of the side and putting it under the back of the block to make it the same square footage, but just a different configuration. Is that?
Generally, but it is a little bit, Block 3 would be a little bit larger than just adding the piece off of Erie Road.
Yes,
to it.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you very much. And just to verify, because I know I'm going to get a lot of questions as to what's going to happen here. They ran into some problems with bedrock, so now the houses have to be a little higher than expected, so now the stairs need to be put in place, which brings it a little closer to the road. And so they're not actually building closer to the road. The amendment is basically because they ran into problems, something that nobody could control.
Through you, Madam Chair, yes, that's correct.
Yes. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you.
Councillor Passera.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If I could just ask staff to comment on Mr. Poole's remarks regarding the waiving of the development charges for the commercial zone. I know that last term of council we did agree to that, and I can't remember specifically what we were also dealing with that night, whether or not we were looking at the boundary for a CIP area, but there was something that triggered us to include those properties directly across from Ridgeway Road, because everything to the west of Ridgeway Road was going to be included as well. I'm wondering if staff could refresh my memory and update Mr. Poole as well.
Mr. Brady.
Through you, Chairman, to Councillor Passero. We were including the lands that were a part of the core mixed use, and all the lands that were core mixed use were decided whether they be as a part of this development or if they a part of Erie Road, and all those lands were treated the same. I would like to point out that that does not include all of the lots that front onto Ridgeway Road. The vast majority of lots that front onto Ridgeway Road paid development charges. There are only a few lots up near the intersection of Erie Road and Ridgeway Road that were captured in that particular change, but it does also apply to Block 3. So Block 3 is included as an area where development charges would not be taken for both the commercial and the residential development. All of the interior lots on Erie Road extension will be the subject of development charges, as well as the block, which is still somewhat undefined at the present time.
Thank you for that, Mr. Brady. And now that you bring up the CMU, that does refresh my memory. And I still support that decision to this day. That quadrant is commercially designated. It made sense then, and I believe it still makes sense now. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Welcome, Councillor Patero. Any other comments or questions? Yeah. Your Worship.
Madam Chair, just a question. Did the region waive its development charges for the same areas the town did?
The Brady?
The region, through you to the mayor, the region has recognized the areas that we've identified within our development charges within theirs as well.
Thank you. And the only comment that I have with respect to the report, and it's very good, and I've spoken to Mr. Kernahan about this, is the part that deals with alternatives. It says none recommended. there may be some alternatives that aren't recommended. I think it's always helpful if we've at least got those. The obvious alternative would be not to approve this, and obviously staff isn't recommending that, nor do I think council would be following that. But it's always helpful if we've got other alternatives. Thank you.
You're welcome. Seeing that there is no further comments or questions, I'm going to call the question. All those in favor? Motion carried. That brings us to report number CDS 82-2015, amendment to comprehensive zoning bylaw number 129-90, housekeeping amendment. Can I have a mover, please? Councillor Zanko. That report is on the floor. Any questions or comments from councillors? Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There was considerable debates through members of the public last time this came before us regarding how any of these proposed changes would affect driveway lengths and the ability to install sidewalks and whether or not those would impede driveway lengths and the ability to put a car, an average-sized car. If I could just have staff's opinion on that once again to update members of the public, whether that has stayed the same, changed, or where we're going from here, just to give them an update at this point in the process.
Thank you. Mr. Brady?
Certainly, through to Councilor Passero. Councilor Passero, there are two housekeeping amendments on that are going to be dealt with tonight. One is this one that's before us, and the second one will be dealing with residential regulations. I'm going to speak collectively, just to put it into perspective. It's determined that 6 meters should be sufficient length for a car to be parked in a driveway, and we are going to, or we're recommending to move to a standard that says that 6 meters will be the minimum that we would permit, and that's being implemented both through some of the changes that are being discussed this evening. And 6 meters is sufficient for even a large car. The issue continues to crop up because of the townhouses on the one side street in Ridgeway, and those are they do not meet the standard, and it's unfortunate that they do not.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Mr. Brain. I apologize. I jumped the gun. I have my little post-it notes, one report ahead, but thank you for answering that. Thank you.
Ms. Engel?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just wondering if it'd be possible for Mr. Brady to comment on Mr. Katz's concern regarding the wording of monster homes and perhaps just provide a little bit of an explanation for that.
Mr. Brady?
Certainly. I'll try to provide some background. The concept of monster homes isn't it's a concern about a very large house on a small lot. And in a number of municipalities, that has become an issue in that people will buy up a lot with a house on it that is not in the best of shape, demolish the house, and then put a large house on a small lot, which is out of character with the neighborhood, but meets the zoning in the neighborhood. It's an issue that's cropped up here and there throughout Ontario. Having a large house on a large lot is not a monster home situation. So the notion that if you have a large lot, say along the lakeshore, for example, and you want to put a large home on it, that isn't something that we're concerned about in terms of a monster home. We may be concerned about its configuration on the lot on the lakeshore, but that's a different circumstance. So the issue of large monster homes would be, for example, someone buying one of the small lots in Crystal Beach and tearing down the cottage and then turning around and putting a very large home on it. And that's the circumstance that we're trying to deal with the monster home regulation.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Zanko. Your Worship.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to follow that up a little bit more than just to get some understanding. So how is it that staff determines, there's a reference here to in the report to 200 square meters. I'm looking at the bottom of page 4 when this report talks about monster homes. So let's say there's an infill lot and it's 50 feet frontage or whatever the amount would be. If it's in an R1 or R2 zoning, someone be able to construct a 2.5-story home? I guess that's the question.
Mr. Brady?
In the proposed regulation would reduce the maximum height of dwellings in existing neighborhoods from 2.5 to 2 stories to reduce the maximum coverage for smaller and medium-sized lots. So that's what it's doing. And in the low, the coverage for these lots, which exceed the minimum lot size. So it's trying to make sure that the home that can be provided for on the property is consistent with the area that it's within.
So if I might, Madam Chair, if I've got a 60-foot wide lot zoned R1, I should be able to put up a 2.5-story home, presuming it's 80 feet deep, we'll say.
Mr. Brady?
With this regulation, you would be restricted to 2 stories.
But if I have a, I don't know what the size of the lots are in South Coast, but if I've got a lot in that subdivision, I could put up a 2.5-story.
The height on South Coast is providing for 2.5 stories, yes.
And that's smaller than, I'm sure, 60-foot lots.
Yes.
So help me with this. Why does this make sense? That wasn't rhetorical.
I know. I'm asking Mr. Kernahan to address it.
Through you, Madam Chair, to the Mayor, the intent of these regulations is to reduce the impact of new style, for lack of a better word, different houses on existing established neighborhoods. Typically, new houses have higher roof lines, and they occupy more of the lot than did houses back in the 1970s or 80s, let's say, which predominate the established neighborhoods. So the intent of the regulations is to introduce some restrictions on established neighborhoods, which are zoned R1 or R2, that would reduce the impact of a tall house which occupied a large proportion of the lot. The intent of providing some relief to the regulations in a place like South Coast is to allow for the establishment of these new style homes in new subdivisions where all of the houses are the same, taller than in established neighborhoods and occupy a larger proportion of a smaller lot. But the fact of the matter is, in a new subdivision, they're all like that.
Okay, so there's consistency at least from neighborhood to neighborhood. I understand that. So in the north end of Fort Erie, where there are probably many 2.5-story homes, this change, this housekeeping amendment, would prohibit another 2.5-story house being built there unless somebody applied for a minor variance.
That's correct.
I'm not sure, Madam Chair, that I'm really thinking that's a good idea, but I certainly appreciate it because there's many other neighborhoods where there are bungalows. And so a 2-story house would be maybe out of place. 2.5 would certainly be out of place. But I'm just wondering whether there isn't some way that we can refine this a bit so that we at least capture that. And it's not, I think there's some areas in Ridgeway where there might be some 2.5-story homes. I had a couple of other questions, and I wanted to thank staff for following our, I guess, a directive from council that people who are directly affected by these changes be given notice, because I know that was a problem in the past when these housekeeping amendments have come forward and people who were affected just didn't really have adequate notice. That's been addressed, and I think it's very helpful. On page 4, there's a reference to temporary swimming pools. I think I may know the answer to this, but I wonder if Mr. Kernahan could tell us exactly what a temporary swimming pool is.
Mr. Kernahan?
Through you, Madam Chair, it would be one that would be removed during the winter months from October to May.
So I've got this clear then. Somebody would put up a pool for the summer in their front yard and then take it down and put it back up again the next summer. Is there a lot of that going on? It just seems...
This provision that we have here is actually, it was brought to our attention by members of council, and we went out and took a look at it. We didn't realize that there was an issue, but there is, and so we're trying to resolve it.
Okay. All right, we learn something every day. I just wanted to point out that on page 16, there's a numbering change that you're going to need to go through. You're at 5.343 and onward, because you added in a 5.343, and you're going to need to make some changes thereafter. You've got 5.3.3, which is undertaking establishment, and then 5.3.3 immediately below that. So you're going to have to do a little adjustment there. And then finally, I wonder, since we're heading in that direction, if Mr. Kernahan could assist me, Madam Chair, with on page 27 and 28 of the report package, when it talks about porches, steps, etc., what does all of that actually mean? So this would be at the bottom of page 27, covered or uncovered porches, balconies, steps, and patios. What are we doing there?
Mr. Kernahan?
Through you, Madam Chair, to the Mayor. Currently, the way our bylaw is worded is it allows these things, porches, steps, and decks, to encroach into the required setback, which varies across zones. In R1 zone, the rear yard setback is 10 meters, and in R2 zone, it's less. So it's the general provision which would allow a deck to go into that space a certain amount. That's how it's worded currently. That confuses the heck out of people, to be quite honest. So what we're proposing is to change the way our bylaw is worded to just say how close to the property line these things can be.
And thank you for that, Madam Chair. Some of these look pretty close, property line.
Through you, Madam Chair, the closer to the ground they are, the closer we would allow them to be to the property line.
And if I might, Madam Chair, so is this an issue that's been raised by residents, or how did we come to do this amendment, propose this amendment?
For you, Madam Chair, as somebody who provides an explanation of the zoning bylaw on a daily basis, I can tell you that there is an amazing amount of confusion with this section at this point in time. So any clarity we can provide, I think, would be welcomed.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any other questions or comments? Councillor Lewerts?
Yes, thank you very much. On page 16, I think, let me just get there. 16, vehicle. The definition of vehicle. I over the past, I've had some concerns about, and one of them was vehicle. And it had to do with the property standards bylaw. And there were some vehicles, and here's an example of one. It was a recreational vehicle, a motor home, not a motor home, but a trailer, vacation trailer. And if you, the definition that I was told to refer to the definition of a vehicle or a recreational motor home or a recreational home. And it was permitted to be stored on the property. And when I'm looking at this here, what I'm looking at and what I'm asking for is there some way that we can say that even though these are the definitions of a vehicle, they also have to be used for their intended purpose. In other words, the problem that I had down in the Bay Beach area was there was a large, had to be 32 feet trailer, vacation trailer. It ended up, the person was using it for a storage, but because it was a recreational vehicle, he was allowed to store it on his property, and there was a lot of complaints from a lot of people. So is there something that we can put in here that it has to be its intended purpose, being used for its intended purpose?
Through you, Madam Chair, I'm not sure. The bylaw currently speaks to disused vehicles, but in terms of providing a definition of vehicle, which includes that the vehicle must be used for its intended use, I'm not sure it's appropriate we include that in the definition. What's, just as a point of clarification, what's being done through this amendment is to fix a mistake that was made somewhere along the way. The definition of vehicle, as you can see by the red line text here, the definition of vehicle was unintentionally at some point replaced with the definition of recreational vehicle. So what this amendment is doing is reintroducing the proper, the appropriate, the previous definition of vehicle to its rightful home at section 5344.
Yes, I understand that, but that, I mean, my inquiry was just, if it's not here, where can we go for that? Because somewhere along the line, we're going to run into this problem again, I'm sure of that. And I'm just wondering if that's something that has to be taken up with property standards or our bylaw department or...
Ms. Stoltz? Thank you. Through you to the counselor. The difficulty we have in putting something like that in the bylaw is proof of whether or not it's being used for its intended purpose or not. So that's something that happens as a result of a complaint, let's say. The complaint comes through, and if the recreational vehicle is being stored on site, not being used for its intended purpose, we would need to have proof that it wasn't being used for that intended purpose in order to see if there was a zoning bylaw infraction there. We do have provisions under prohibited uses about intended use and the use of a vehicle, a disused vehicle, but we'd need proof that it was actually being disused for its intended purpose, which we'd have to gather through bylaw enforcement.
Yes, that's true, but if we find out through bylaw enforcement that it's not being used for its intended purpose, we don't have any definition there that it becomes an infraction. That's what I'm saying. Do we have? Is there something we can do with that?
For you to the counselor. Yes, again, if we have proof that it's being not used for its intended purpose, there's actually photographs or pictures or things like that, we can take some enforcement measures, but we'd have to have concrete proof that that is the case.
Okay, thank you very much. And just one more, if I may, Madam Chair, just to go back to monster homes. And I understand the intention of bringing it up. But what happens now, we're going to put this section in there, in the bylaw. What happens with the fact that we've already allowed these things to happen? Now, we've had some homes, and I know over the past, I have voted against some zoning amendments for setbacks. We reduced the setback, side yard setback. We reduced the backyard setback and the front yard setback so that we could fit the house on a piece of property that was too small for that house. And we went ahead and it was approved by this previous council. So now we have set the precedence. And how do we get around that now with our monster home provision here? So that if someone were to take that to the OMB, what's our standing? How do we get around that? How do we enforce that?
Through you, Madam Chair, if that decision was before council, that would mean that these properties have a site-specific zoning assigned to them. So with or without this amendment, they would have that site-specific zoning designation and be permitted to develop as approved by council.
So I guess what I'm asking is, if someone comes forward for some site-specific rezoning to build a monster house, a house that's too big for the lot, how do we get around not providing it for them because we've already done it?
Mr. Brady?
Through you to Councilor Liberts. The precedent is what I think you're worried about. The precedent that was set by a previous council to allow an exterior or an interior side yard that you thought was too small does not affect after we've changed the bylaw. Once the bylaw has changed comprehensively, so that we've established side yard setbacks, both through the amendment that is before us now and also the amendment that will be before us in a minute on the residential zoning regulations. Once those are in effect, those become the standard unless there is a site specific. So the standard is established. If someone wants to change that standard, they would have to either go to the committee of adjustment or come here for that. But that standard has now been effected. The best example I can think of is a side yard setback. One of the things that we're doing in the next regulations that you'll see is that we're defining the minimum interior side yard as being a little bit larger than we've had in the past, and that's because we've had some problems with building permits. So therefore, all vacant lots that have that will be in place will have now a little bit wider side yard setback from that moment forward, with the exception of those site-specific provisions that the Ontario Municipal Board or this council has put in place.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bray. So I guess my next question is, you're confident that if we put this provision in there, that if someone were to come to us in the future and request some side yard setbacks or rear yard or just some setbacks or some variances to their zoning, and we refuse to give that to them based on this monster home provision, that if they were to take that to the OMB, you're confident that the municipality would be successful? That's my concern, because I don't want to be going to the OMB and then losing and then having to spend all that money and find out we're going to lose anyway. So you're confident that we will be successful?
If a proposal is brought forward to reduce a side yard setback that staff is not in support of, and council agrees with staff and it's not in support of, I feel that we have a good case at the Ontario Municipal Board. As you can ask our solicitor who's here this evening, the Ontario Municipal Board is never 100% on anything, so I can't tell you that the Ontario Municipal Board will always be in the favor of whatever decision that's made. But nonetheless, I would feel confident in arguing that case in front of the Ontario Municipal Board.
Thank you. So I guess putting this provision in will increase our ability to be successful. That's basically where I'm going with this.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Any other further questions or comments, Your Worship?
If I might, Madam Chair, I just want to beat this monster home little bit longer. So right now, the concern of the staff is that we have R1 and R2 properties, which are large enough to accommodate a 2.5-story home with proper setbacks. Is that the concern? Repeat that.
Through you, Madam Chair. Could you?
Yes. Is the concern of staff that we currently have R1 and R2 zone properties, which could accommodate a large home and still abide by the setbacks?
Through you, Madam Chair. Right. For lack of a better term, what we're trying to do here is to prevent monster homes from being built. The way we're trying to do that is by requiring increased side yard setbacks for taller homes in an infill situation, and by reducing the maximum lot coverage on smaller lots within those R1 and R2 zones. Just to be clear, the larger lots within the R1 and R2 zones will be permitted to have as high frontage or as high coverage as is permitted now. There's no proposed reduction in coverage for the larger lots, which exceed the minimum lot areas in the R1 and the R2 zones.
Right. I guess, Madam Chair, my concern, and Mr. Couts expressed it, is this is really all relative. You know, a monster home on a large lot, necessarily a monster home. And, at what point do we encourage growth up as opposed to out? And a 2.5-story house on a 80 or 100-foot lot may be perfectly fine as opposed to a 2.5-story house on a 30-foot lot, unless it's in a new subdivision where that's the whole neighborhood. So would we not be able to control monster homes by requiring the appropriate setbacks, certain width, and a maximum lot coverage? Does that not protect us?
Through you, Madam Chair, what we're doing with coverage is exactly that. The larger the lot, the more coverage you're permitted to have. I think if I'm hearing you, what you're suggesting is maybe we should consider allowing additional height for larger lots?
Well, I think that's exactly what I'm saying. If you've got, and I don't know if there's a mad rush to build 2.5-story homes, but I know that there are some, and I know that if you've got a 80 or 100-foot lot, 2.5-story house isn't a big deal. I mean, the North End and other parts of town have 2.5-story homes that are on, I'm sure, I think on Fifth Street, there's probably some that are on 60-foot lots. So there's a number of houses in the neighborhood that look like that. Because what we do is if we pass these amendments and then a bylaw that finalizes it, we put people in a position of having to apply for minor variances where, you know, right now it's not particularly necessary. And I don't know how much of a problem this may be becoming in Fort Erie. I mean, it could be a problem. I know it's a problem in some neighborhoods, and I certainly wouldn't want to have I'm just struggling with this particular aspect of it, Madam Chair.
If I might. The report that's before us this evening, which is CDS 82215, is a report which is for your information purposes. So council is directing staff to prepare a further report on zoning bylaw on what we're putting forward as a zoning bylaw amendment for a future a council and committee meeting. I think it's fair to say that I've heard that the mayor and perhaps other members of council have some concern about the height restriction on monster homes. We'll revisit that. I'm not necessarily going to change it or not agree to change it at the present time, but we can revisit it. So we're not asking for your approval of this this evening. We're just asking for this to move forward, and a recommendation report will come forward at a future meeting. and there will be a more fulsome discussion on the Monster Homes issue.
Thank you. That's helpful.
Are there further comments or questions? I'll call the question then. All those in favor? Motion carried. We move on to report number CDS-83-2015, Amendment to Comprehensive Zoning Bylaw number 129-90, Residential Zoning Regulations. Can I have a mover? Councillor Zanko? The report is on the floor. Any comments or questions? Councillor Pasira.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, everyone, for catching up to me. I just wanted to draw any members of the public their attention if they have concerns regarding the issue I spoke of in advance of this to Appendix 4 of the reports. It's pages 21 through 23, and staff have done a very good job of illustrating the changes. And although the setback for a front yard is changing, it's going from the front of the house. It's not extending to the garage. So the garage length will remain at 6 meters, which is what staff are recommending. And I would like to point out as well that when you're viewing this, the front yard line is actually the property line, because there were some concerns brought forward previously at a public meeting regarding, well, if you put a sidewalk in, it cuts through the driveway. Well, that's not the case, because the 6 meters goes from the front of the home to the property line, and it would be south of that that a sidewalk would be installed if that ever went forward. So the 6 meters is never going to get taken away, even if future changes occur. So I just wanted to draw people's attention to Appendix 4. It's well illustrated, and I think it does a good example of alleviating any concerns that may be out there. Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other comments or questions?
Chair, just to thank staff for making the modification so that homes in the R1 and R2 zones, which are typically existing neighborhoods, will not be affected by these changes. And so infilling situations will still have to comply with the existing rules.
Any other comments or questions? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? Motion carried. That brings us to report number CDS-84-2015, Information Report, Downtown Core Area Community Improvement Plan, CIP, 2015 Progress Monitoring. Can I have a mover? Councillor McDermott, that report is on the floor. Any questions or comments? Seeing none, I will call the question. All those in favor? Motion carried. Final report of the evening is CDS-85-2015, Award of Contract for Consulting Services for Preparation of the Fort Erie Waterfront Strategy. Can I have a mover for that?
Moved.
Thank you, Your Worship. That report is now on the floor. Any comments or questions? Councillor Lubert.
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. I will be in support of this report. I just want to make a comment on the fact that the Planning Partnerships did an excellent job with the Bay Beach Master Plan, and I got a lot of very, very positive comments from the work that they did, and the fact that they consulted with the public, and everybody was very happy, so I'll be happy to support the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Lubert. Your Worship.
I just wanted to echo Councillor Lubert's comments. I know that we had 9 proposals submitted, which is very good news. So difficult job for staff to go through all of this. I'm not surprised. I know it was a very tight competition, but I'm not surprised that the Planning Partnership is being recommended by staff because of the work that they've done on the Bay Beach Master Plan. And they now have familiarity with the municipality and certainly have gone far, far above, I think, expectations, certainly my expectations in terms of the Beach Plan. And knowing that Ms. Hind will be leading this waterfront strategy exercise, I think is very good news for us.
Thank you. Councillor Pasira.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just under next steps, I note the makeup of the community focus group, and I just, I don't know at what time that will be taking place, but I would just like to express my interest in sitting on that committee, given my background with the Shorewalk Association and previous waterfront enhancement projects around the community. So just to put that out there for my colleagues. Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other comments or questions? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? Motion carried. That concludes reports. Moving on to new business and inquiries. Does anybody have any new business that they'd like to bring up at this time? Seeing none. Business status report. Any comments or questions? Seeing none, that concludes Community and Development Services. I'll return the chair back to you, Your Worship.
Thank you, Councillor Butler. Are there any meetings scheduled? Councillor Zanko, then Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. There is a Bay Beach Master Plan Focus Group, which is scheduled at Town Hall, and that is this Thursday at 11 a.m. And there's also Fort Erie Arts Council, which is being held on Saturday, November 7th at 7 p.m. And I believe it might be a two-day event.
There's also some time on Sunday. I'm not sure of exactly the hours, but I've seen it advertised in the news. Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'd just like to bring everyone's attention that on Sunday, November 8th, there will be a service at Stevensville Hall held by the Royal Canadian Legion to honor veterans from the Great Wars, and that starts at 2 p.m. And on Saturday, we'll be attending the recognition dinner for the hazmat crew and emergency responders that responded to Rich Products,
yes.
I don't know, disaster that they had there.
That was, yes, for the toxic spill.
Correct. Yeah.
Yes, and just to follow up on that, there's also at the Fort Erie Legion a Remembrance Day ceremony on Sunday, November 8th, starting at 1:30. And on Wednesday, November the 11th, is the traditional ceremony in Ridgeway at the cemetery by the water tower corner of Ridgeway Road and Far. Councillor Luberts?
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. There's a meeting for infrastructure subcommittee meeting Wednesday, November 4th at 4 o'clock. And also on Saturday, there's an environmental advisory committee meeting. We're having a site visit at Oak Ridges, I believe. Last week I announced we were having that meeting on Wednesday, but that was canceled, so we're going to do that this Saturday.
You guys didn't want to go out in the rain?
No, there's a few people that melt in the rain, so we decided to stay home.
There was lots of rain. Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. Just wanted to remind everybody that there is a Ridgeway BIA meeting this Wednesday, October 4th at the Ridgeway Legion, 5:15. And there is the DSBN fundraising committee meeting at 6 o'clock tomorrow evening at the Fort Erie High School as well. And then thirdly, I'd like to recognize that the Ridgeway Crystal Beach Kinsmen Club, who is putting on the fundraiser to collect donations for Christmas parcels for families in need, have sold out their event for this Saturday evening.
And any others? Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mayor Redekop. A Senior Citizens Advisory Committee meeting this Wednesday, 10 a.m. at the Douglas Heights Lions Community Center.
And I should point out, just to follow up on Councillor Zanko's comment about the focus group for Bay Beach Master Plan, there are community workshops scheduled for the Crystal Ridge Library at 2 p.m., 5 p.m., and 7 p.m. on Thursday as well, Thursday, November the 5th. Any others? Then, Councillor Nutt, how would you like to adjourn us?
I would love to. I don't know who got to do it last week, but thank you for returning it here.
Well, whoever it was, we've forgotten.
Oh, thank God. So the Town of Fort Erie Council and Committee hereby adjourns at 7:49 p.m. to resume again on November 16th in the regular Council and Committee meeting.
All those in favor? That is carried. Thank you all.